I love doing long projects, like when it's a book or something like the show, because it's just nice to be able to like have that time to work on stuff. But then saying that, I do like those short projects that I've done that I've really enjoyed too. Sometimes it's good not to have loads of time to like over obsess about something, if that makes sense. It's nice to just be really quick with it and get it out.
That's Manjit Thapp, and this is the On Design Podcast. Hi everyone, and welcome to a new all-female season of the On Design Podcast. I'm your host, Justina Green. As you know, I'm an illustrator, and if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you will know also that I've been on a personal career change journey, or maybe not so much a career change, just a more balanced work life that combines illustration with the 10 years experience in communications in the design industry that I've had. And in the most recent episode, I've shared with you my personal journey, and I wanted to say big thank you to everyone tuning in for that episode. And now that I feel that we're even closer, that, you know, now that I've kind of shared even more of myself with you, I really look forward to introducing to you some amazing female creatives, designers, architects, illustrators, and editors in the season that's running from October all the way through to Christmas. So we have about between 10 and 11 episodes, and we start with Manjit Thapp. And Manjit is an illustrator whose works combine traditional and digital media, and they're very easily recognizable for their mindful and contemplative aesthetic, I would say, with female characters often portrayed in thoughtful moments of solitude. And in her works, Manjit reflects on well-being and mental health, and earlier this year, she's published her first book, Seasons, and her solo show at the Now Gallery in London is open until the end of this month, and I would strongly recommend visiting it. I've included a link to the show in the show notes, and I've really, really, really loved it, because whilst Manjit is an illustrator, the show also features tapestries, mirrors, and murals, and she created just a really beautiful world based on, I guess she just poured herself into it. But anyway, you'll hear from her about it. So let's dive in straight into this episode. Thank you so much, Manjit, for being here and being part of the podcast. And congratulations on your new show. I visited it, I think, on the opening night and was just absolutely blown away by your work and also the huge body of work that you had to prepare for it.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad that you liked it.
How did it feel to have the exhibition launch and see it come to life?
It was really overwhelming, actually. I think especially because of all the delays. So it was like this build up, and then to have it kind of open was just, yeah, it was really overwhelming. But yeah, it was just so nice to see people looking at the work, you know, that we'd spent so long making.
And was there, because I'm thinking that when you make work, that's very much you on your own. Well, then with the exhibition, it's work as seen by other people. How does that kind of make you feel? Is it quite rewarding to see others see the work?
Yeah, definitely. I think especially because a lot of the work that I make, it's for to be viewed online, so for people to kind of see it in person, I think it's such a big difference. So that's been a really nice part of it all, to kind of see things up close and all those kind of smaller details that get lost on the screen or on your phone.
Right, so all the details within works, right?
Yeah,
I know that the one of the works, it has beautiful framed patterns.
Yes, I think I know which one you mean.
Yeah. And that kind of, when I was looking at that up close, that felt very meticulously drawn. Well, yeah. I guess sometimes if it's an Instagram swipe, people don't quite notice it. Or we don't take time online, do we, to view the work?
No, and it's such a smaller size, and the pieces in the show are quite quite large compared to, you know, our phones. So yeah, it's really nice that it gets to be viewed in person.
And for the listeners who haven't seen your work before, could you describe it and tell us a bit more about your inspirations for it?
Yeah, I'm not the best at describing my work, but I'd say that my work kind of always features female characters. When I'm making work, I like to think about kind of mood or atmosphere that I want to convey and use colours and textures and icons to help kind of create this mood in my work. And I like to use colour in a really important way to convey that and kind of build textures and patterns to kind of create this whole world, I guess.
So tell us more about that process, because is there quite a lot of intuition in your work in terms of what colours and textures you choose to evoke certain feelings, or will you look kind of inside yourself to see how you feel and then translate that?
I definitely say it's quite intuitive, especially like with colours and textures and things. It kind of, I'm in the moment choosing them. And that's kind of the way that I like to work best, rather than thinking of a colour palette beforehand, because I feel like that would maybe make me feel a little bit restricted. So I definitely like to work in the moment.
And does that differ than when you work, say, on commercial projects and with clients who might require a colour palette before you get started? Or do you still provide, say, only sketches and then the colour palette develops as you go?
It depends. Some clients have a very specific colour palette that they want you to use. But the projects that I've worked on, when there has been a colour palette that they want me to use, sometimes they'll be quite open with it and they'll let me play around within that particular palette. But sometimes it's quite strict, the colours that they have to use. But then again, because that doesn't happen so much, it is nice to have that challenge sometimes as well.
Mm-hmm. So working within constraints, that actually pushes the creative side.
Yeah, it definitely just makes me think in a different way and try and work in that. And I don't know, it just definitely challenges me and I think helps me develop.
Mm-hmm. And so with the challenges kind of from commercial work, what's your balance in terms of kind of commercial and personal work? And do they meet and feed into each other?
It really depends. I think when an exciting commercial project comes up, then I'll always kind of, I guess, put that first, and then try and fit in personal work around that. But it always kind of depends what's going on. But usually I find that my work kind of grows more with my personal work. So I find it's always important to kind of, you know, make sure that you do fit that in. I've worked on the book and the show, and I feel like, although I guess those are commissions, they still very much felt personal. So I felt like my work really grew with those two projects. But then saying that, I think it depends what the project is. And, you know, I feel like my work grows with every piece. But I don't know, there's something about making personal work that really, I think, fuels you and really develops the work that you're making.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us about some of the recent personal projects that you've worked on? Tell me if that's right, the very, very latest one is the street style illustration.
Yeah, that was quite a while ago. I tend to fit those in when I have some downtime, because there's just something about those that I find really relaxing. I think it's kind of working from reference photos and there's just something relaxing about that. So yeah, I always like fitting those in. They're really fun to do. But like I said, I feel like even though they were commission works, I feel like the show and the book that I worked on felt very like personal work, because it was my own kind of idea and narrative that I was creating. So I'd say those were the last two. Sometimes because I'm so busy with commercial work, I don't really have time to fit in personal work. So it was nice to have a long time to get to spend on those two.
Mm-hmm. So tell us more about your book. And it was published earlier this year. It's absolutely stunning. So can you tell us more about kind of the brief you got for it, how long you worked on it, and what were the main ideas?
Well, that one was really exciting because I'd worked with Penguin Random House before on another book called The Little Book of Feminist Saints. And there was like an opportunity there to kind of work on my own book. So I really had a good think about what that would be. When I was at university, I made a small comic about seasonal affective disorder, and it was about 8 pages long. And it's something that I really loved making. It's one of the favourite things that I made at university, the only one, I think. And I thought it would be a really nice idea to kind of make that more long format and really dive into that world and extend it. So that's what the book's about. It's about seasonal affective disorder, and it follows the journey of a young woman as she kind of goes through the seasons throughout the course of a year and how her feelings kind of mirror the seasons.
And in terms of inspiration for that and kind of for the first comic, is that something from you took from personal life?
Yeah, definitely. I think the way that she kind of feels about the changing seasons is very much the way I do. I would definitely say it was very much inspired by me.
And how long did the process take of putting the book together, and kind of how many pages and illustrations are there, and what was your process of kind of figuring out a full book?
I can't remember the number of pages, but I know that there's 6 chapters. And it took me a while. It took me about a year and a half. It was my first time kind of doing a solo book, and it was also the longest graphic novel that I've ever done. And my first time kind of bringing text in to my work and, you know, using words to tell a story rather than just relying on the images. So I think that whole process was just so new to me, and it took me a while to kind of get it done. But I don't know how I could have got it done any faster, really. It was like one of the most challenging things that I've worked on, but it also the most rewarding. And the process for that one was, I started off doing all the text for the book, and then from the text, then I went to the images. So that was like starting with text is quite a new thing for me, and then bringing in the images later. So yeah, it was just a whole new way of working for me.
That's very interesting. And how did you kind of find yourself with the text? Did it come quite naturally?
At first it was difficult because it was something that I wasn't used to, and not even that it was difficult, I think I was very self-conscious about bringing text in, because I don't know, I just felt very self-conscious that, you know, does this sound too waffly, does this sound like I'm trying too hard, you know, all those types of things. But then I think once I kind of got into it and I got out of my own way, it kind of came a lot more easier, and I kind of figured out techniques to help me come up with ideas and write. And yeah, I think I learned a lot as I went along, and then my editors were so great as well.
So, and did they review the text first before you started to work on the images, or were they involved throughout the process as the images and the text were coming together?
They were involved throughout the whole thing. I definitely couldn't have done it without them. They were really good in just kind of pushing me in the right direction when I was stuck, and kind of guiding me through the whole thing. And they were always really good at picking out things that needed that kind of, when I was stuck on something and I didn't know what to do with it, they kind of always knew what was missing and what it kind of needed, and just really helped push me in the right direction. So I loved working with them.
That's incredible to have that support. And
yeah,
one of my next questions I was thinking about, and I think the listeners will find it really useful to know, it's how do you stay motivated on a project that takes a year and a half to make?
Yeah, it was difficult sometimes, because, you know, I think like every artist, you have like little blocks and lack of motivation. And yeah, I think I definitely did take like little breaks out from it, just so that I could have a break, rethink, come back to it fresh. But then there were like breaks put in as well, like when I was waiting for the editors to check over the text and stuff like that. So yeah, it wasn't too bad. I think once I really got stuck into it, it flowed really easily. But I think when I first started the text, it was difficult. And then when I first started the images, it took me a while to kind of get into it. But once I was into it, then it kind of flowed really easily and I kind of figured out the routine of it.
Okay, and did you have a specific routine kind of during the day or say times in the day when you do most of the words or when you do storyboards versus when you work on individual illustrations in the piece?
I don't really tend to like schedule myself too much like that. It doesn't really work for me personally. And you know what, I could not even, it feels like such a long time ago, I can't even remember the way that I would do it. I think I would just start off the day doing it and then take breaks out when I needed to. But yeah, I did all the text first. So then when I started the images, the text was all ready and done. So I didn't have to go back and forth, which felt nice to just concentrate then on the images.
And how did you find the kind of the switch from maybe creating individual works to creating a full story with a strong narrative?
I really enjoyed doing that. And I think it kind of reminded me that how much I love bringing narrative into my work, because I hadn't done it for a while. I'd just been kind of making solo illustrations that kind of stood on their own. So I really kind of, it was good to kind of remember, actually, I love bringing narrative in and telling a story through my images. So yeah.
Because that's when you did the, maybe why you're so fond of that university project.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the shorter comic. Because I don't think since then I'd really done, well, I'd worked on book projects, but something about doing it like through my own ideas, it just reminded me that I wanted to do more. It kind of helped redirect me a little bit.
And now having published, you know, you've published your first book, your exhibition at the Now Gallery is currently open. And how do you feel with that body of work? Some really amazing things you've put together and created. Do you feel like they're informing where you want to go next, or do you feel like you just need to rest now?
It's definitely informed the direction that I want to go into. Again, because I went straight from the book to the show, it was tiring, but it was really good in a way, because I felt very like confident in creating, not confident, but I felt very like sure of the direction that I wanted to go with the show, like weaving in a narrative to the story that I wanted to tell as the viewer kind of works their way through the maze. So it was really nice to be able to bring what I learned from the book to the show.
And can you tell us more for people who haven't visited the show yet about the works that they can find there and about the different mediums you've used as well?
Yeah, so I really wanted to kind of challenge myself, because I mostly work in kind of print and the outcome is usually just like 2D. And so I really wanted to challenge myself and try new things. So there's prints, but they're a lot bigger than what I would normally work at. So that's really nice. And then there's murals, interactive murals, tapestries, woven and a tufted tapestry. There's these etched mirrors that are laser cut. There's just like a lot of different mediums that I'm playing with. There's an animation, and I think it all comes together really nicely.
And has that prompted you to kind of, once you saw the tapestries, to think, oh yeah, I can do more of those? And because suddenly there are products there as well that kind of, that still have your narrative and your style and your story.
Yeah, definitely. I think the way that the tapestry works is so different to the way that I would normally work when I'm creating an image. So it was really nice to kind of create for that end result, if that makes sense, because I found like that with the tapestries, more solid colours worked, more block colours worked, bigger shapes worked, which is different to how I'd create more of a, like my own work, which is a lot more intricate and a lot of shading and stuff. So it's nice to kind of work in a different way, knowing what the outcome was going to be. So yeah, I'd definitely love to make more. And they just look so nice as well, I think.
They really do. They're absolutely stunning. And like you say, it's such a different way, isn't it, for you to work, because suddenly there's the texture that you achieve through tools, whether digital or analog, suddenly the texture is the texture of the fabric rather than the texture that you draw.
Yeah, it has like a lot more of a tactile feeling. And it's just really nice to have that mix of print and then these different pieces. Yeah, and they all tie in together. So yeah, I really like that I have like a really nice range of different stuff.
Yeah, and I really love the piece inspired by Henri Rousseau.
Yeah, The Dream.
It made me so happy. As soon as I saw it, I thought, oh, I think, I know where that's come from.
I'm glad.
They're really stunning. And I have a question kind of going back a little bit. How did your journey start with drawing, with creativity?
I've always kind of loved doing anything creative for as long as I can remember. I was always kind of doing like arts and crafts when I was really young. And then I think when I went to school, secondary school, that's when I really started to kind of take it more seriously and kind of become obsessed with it very quickly, and I was kind of drawing all the time and making art all the time.
And what do you think caused that obsession? What was so appealing with drawing?
I think, well, when I started secondary school, my best friend, she was really good at art, and she would always be drawing like in class and stuff, and so I kind of picked it up from there. Well, I'd been drawing before when I was younger, but I was taking it a lot more seriously and actually trying to like make something good, if that makes sense. And yes, she was just always drawing, so then I would just always draw, and we were kind of doing it together and then posting it online together. And so it just felt like, I don't know, it was just so different to how I'd made work before, and I was just really trying to get, she was really good, so I wanted to try really hard to get better as well.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible to have that person to bounce off ideas with.
Yeah, I'm really grateful for that time.
And to nudge each other along. And what was your work like then? Kind of what was it, mainly analog or digital? And kind of what stories did you tell? Kind of back in the day, when it started.
I think at that time I was just throwing anything at the wall and trying loads of different things. I went through lots of different stages, kind of starting off with just pencil drawings, and then I got really into markers. And then I think when I was about, I can't even remember, maybe 15 or so, that's when I got my first digital tablet. And so then I kind of became really obsessed with that and was doing everything digital. And then slowly I started mixing digital and traditional together, which is kind of where I am today.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you start your work now? Kind of, does it start with the traditional media first, and then you work on the works digitally?
Yeah, so I start everything traditionally. I just really love the textures of pencils. I feel like for me, I can't beat that. So I always like to start like that. And then I like to add colour digitally. I just really like the way the flatness of adding colour digitally, the flatness that it gives the piece. I just really like that. And again, when you colour digitally, you can just experiment so much. But then I'll, you know, bring in a lot of traditional elements as well and kind of layer everything. And I think the way that I work, it feels very much like making a collage.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good description. That's so true, because you have characters and different shapes and textures. And I was trying to decipher some of the pieces in the exhibition and realized that I could not, because they were so cleverly put together that everything interlocks.
Yeah, I like that. I like to not know exactly how it was made, like not knowing if it's purely digital or if it's purely traditional or something like that. But yeah, it's definitely a mix of the two.
And in your most recent work, the characters that you portray, they are very easily recognizable, the female characters. And do you remember kind of the first time those characters started to come together and how they were born?
I think I've always loved drawing female characters, and I always have throughout my work. It's just the way that they look has changed as my style has evolved, and as I've kind of changed, they've changed. I think they've kind of grown with me for sure. But yeah, I think just through drawing so much, the way that they've looked has changed. Yeah.
That's very interesting. And you've referred a few times now to, you know, also when you were in secondary school, to just drawing a lot. And do you find that it's through practice and spending many hours kind of working on pieces or working on figures that you found your style emerged?
Yeah, definitely. I spent so much time, and I still do, just drawing and drawing and drawing, especially when I was at secondary school, because I feel like at that time you kind of have all the time in the world. And I spent a lot of that just drawing and drawing and drawing and drawing, because I just loved doing it. And then through doing that, you know, I explored lots of different styles, lots of different mediums, and really just kind of honing in the way that I would draw, noticing bits that I liked and wanted to keep, and then the bits that I knew that I needed to keep working on, until it all kind of leads you through to where you are now. I even like scrolling right down to my Instagram and just seeing how like it slowly evolved.
Yeah, how does that make you feel kind of when you scroll back and see what the works used to be like?
I love it. I think if I went like really further back, then it does start to get a little bit embarrassing. But from when I started my Instagram, you know, I still feel like really warm when I see those pieces, because I just remember like where I was at that time when I was making them, and you know, the things that I was really into, and I can see how those things influence the pieces and things like that. It's almost like looking through like old pages of a diary or like old photos or something like that. It feels like very nostalgic.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And it's wonderful that you can look through at images and see where you were at that time already without having to use any words.
Yeah.
And seeing your influences.
Definitely.
And tell me more about Instagram. So we know that it's one of the key, it's really important for creatives and illustrators. But many people also maybe don't like it so much because of the algorithms and how it's changing. How have you found Instagram for you and for your work?
I think I joined very much at the beginning, and I think I joined at just the right time. When the platform was still growing, and I'd been posting my work on other websites as I'd grown up, like DeviantArt and Tumblr. So then when I joined, I had like a very small following, so that felt nice. And then, I don't know, I just really loved posting on there and watching my audience, I guess you could call it, kind of grow with me. Mm-hmm. And now it's kind of reached a point where it is such a different space from when I first joined, and that can be quite disheartening at times. And then I think I have to just keep reminding myself that, you know, my worth doesn't come from, you know, Instagram and the likes and stuff like that, and it's not going to be the same as it was. And I think you just have to kind of keep reminding yourself and being okay, not okay, but just accepting that and not putting depends so much on that, to how you feel, if that makes sense. Because a lot of the time I'd feel quite disheartened if I posted something and it didn't seem to do so well, but I still really like that piece, so I just have to make the work for myself. And yeah, I think sometimes you feel that pressure to just keep posting, just to kind of keep up with it and keep it going. And I don't know, sometimes it can kind of feel like it's your boss a little bit. And I really don't like that feeling. So I've really had to kind of rework the way I see it and use it.
An interesting point you made as well, that your work or your commissions don't depend on Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think that they don't, but I do, you know, mm-hmm. I do think it's a place where people find my work, clients find my work. So I definitely like keeping it updated as much as I can. But yeah, it's not the be all and the end all for me, which is nice to know.
And since kind of, my question. So the first question is, because I'm not sure, you don't have an agent, do you?
I do. I have a literary agent only, and she's okay. Really great at kind of helping me figure out the books that I work on and the contracts that come with those. So I'm really glad that I have her for that stuff.
Okay, perfect. So you have your literary agent for your publishing work, is that right?
Yeah.
And then other commissions, do you deal with them directly?
Yes.
Yes, perfect. So I had a question kind of on that business side, I guess, because, of course, you know, we've been talking a lot about creativity and your creative time and how you make work. But how have you been finding over the years the business side of being an illustrator, and how do you manage it, and how do you make it work with your creative time?
Yeah, I think I do enjoy being on that side of things sometimes, but then a lot of the times it can be like a lot as well, because especially if you have work to make and you need to sit and do the art side of things, it can be difficult when you have like emails and admin side of stuff to do and chasing invoices and that side of things. Sometimes it can be hard to balance the two. But then at the same time, it's kind of helped me stay organized and make sure that I'm on top of things. And, you know, I've learned, you know, a lot about how to like write emails and that side of things. It's helped me grow. So I do like having the balance of the two. But sometimes, you know, it can be a lot having to do the two, because sometimes you do actually just need to sit and do the work. Finding time for the other side of things can be difficult.
And do you find, because I know that you said that you don't schedule yourself much before, so do you find that kind of every day you'd work and kind of be creative or do the business side depending on kind of how you feel and what your energy is like?
Yeah, it just kind of depends on what's going on and what I'm working on and what's like in the pipeline. Yeah, I'm very just much in the moment figuring it out on the day. Sometimes I will plan if there's like I'm juggling multiple projects at once, then it's quite a lot and I do have to kind of give myself a checklist of things that I need to do in the day. But on the whole, I think I find that I work better later in the day. So I'll always start with like admin type stuff first, and then that kind of gets me in the working mode, and then I'll go into the art side of stuff. And then you can concentrate better because you know you've got that stuff out the way with.
Yeah, that's so true. Because I was trying to kind of, you know, see how I feel and kind of when I have most energy, even like for myself. And I found that I have most energy in the morning.
Yeah.
But then I found that being creative whilst, you know, kind of emails need to sort out and admin stuff, it's just not possible.
Yeah, it's like in the back of your mind the whole time, isn't it? But everyone's so different. Totally. So I think the more that like I've spent being full-time freelance, you just kind of learn little ways to help yourself and techniques that you like and ways of working. So yeah, I think it's just a learning process.
Yeah, because I guess it will change, like you said, depending on the project, but also depending where you are in your life, or even on based on the seasons, right? And how you feel.
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes, you know, I might be more productive in the mornings, like you said, or really late at night. So yeah, it just depends.
And thinking about new creatives or new graduates who were essentially graduating, I guess, this year and last year in the middle of the pandemic, do you have advice for them, for the new creatives who are kind of entering just got their degree and are trying to figure out what's next?
I would say to really work, especially at the beginning when it can be a little bit quiet, really like work on self-initiated projects and set yourself briefs so that you're still, especially while you're in that kind of uni mode. That's kind of what I did, I think, especially when you come out of uni, you don't always like, I didn't always like everything that I'd made at university. So your portfolio and your website can feel a little bit empty. So it's always good to kind of set projects for things that you'd love to be hired to do. So if you'd like to do book covers, maybe set yourself a project where you illustrate some of your favourites, just so that you have something on your website and that when clients do find you, they know what you're after and what kind of work you want to do. So I think keeping yourself very busy and really setting yourself projects is a really good way to kind of kick things off.
That's brilliant advice. And what kind of projects did you do at first?
Oh God, I can't even remember. I think when I came out, I felt like I'd had to do so many kind of project-based works, if that makes sense. So I really just wanted to dive into just doing my own illustrations. So I think I did a lot of standalone illustrations. I think that's what I was doing. And just really like getting back into making my own work for me again.
Yeah. And going kind of from that starting first project, what do you feel was your kind of quite a pivotal moment kind of from leaving university to then maybe going full-time freelance, for example, or when you started to or got certain project and thought, okay, I can make this work?
I'd definitely say it was when I worked on the Little Book of Feminist Saints for Penguin Random House. That was like a big moment for me. And I think it was a year or maybe about 6 months or so, or maybe a little bit more than 6 months after I'd left uni. So it did happen quite fast. I mean,
that's really quick.
That timeline might not be exact, but I think I graduated in 2016 and then I got that kind of in the new year of 2017.
That's incredible.
I think that's right. I might be wrong. That was like a huge moment for me. And I was working part-time at the time. And I knew that I was kind of ready to leave part-time work and be full-time. But I was be a full-time illustrator. But I was quite scared to kind of hand in my notice and make it like an official thing. But then when I got that email to work on that project, that's when, like, the very next day I handed in my notice. So, yeah, that was, like, a big moment. That was a big moment for me.
Yeah, and that, how long did it take you to work on that project? So was that a series of portraits?
Yeah, so I was just an illustrator on that book, and the book was about, kind of featured, like, very prominent women in history. I was just doing the portraits for that. So it was like, I hadn't really done many portrait illustrations before. So that was like, yeah, it was a really big project. I think it was 50 women. And I think I might have had like 6 months or so.
For 50 illustrations?
I think so. I mean, I definitely can't remember how long.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was definitely 50, which felt like a lot at the time and still does, but... how am I going to do this kind of thing?
Yeah, because it's roughly like 2 a week.
Yeah, it worked out pretty much like that, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but that's awesome because at the same time you just got straight into it and I guess you didn't have time to think about what's next because you were just knees deep in that project.
Yeah, definitely. It was just nice to be able to concentrate on something and it was like the first time that I was going to be like, it was like my first proper book project as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just all like really exciting.
And would you say that now how do you feel? Do you prefer working on those longer projects or you still love having commissions for individual illustrations?
I love doing long projects, like when it's a book or something like the show, because it's just nice to be able to like have that time to work on stuff. But then saying that, I do like there's short projects that I've done that I've really enjoyed too. Sometimes it's good not to have loads of time to like over obsess about something, if that makes sense. It's nice to just be really quick with it and get it out. So it's nice to have a mix of like quicker projects and then those long ones.
And I'm thinking as well that those quick projects, they can, you know, like we said, when you work on the long project and you need a bit of a break, that quick illustration on a different topic can maybe just get your mind off the big project quickly, and then you come back fresher.
Yeah, so I think when I was working on the book and the show, I definitely like did take, like when something would come along that was like a short deadline, I would take it on, and it was good, but then also it was tiring as well, so I had to be quite careful how I did it.
Yeah, and I was wondering, with the book and the show, you've done so incredibly well, and so I was thinking, what are your dream projects and collaborations that you've not worked on yet but would really love to?
I feel really lucky to say that like I've worked on my like my main like bucket list ones, which was the show, having my own solo show, and working on my own book. So like I've ticked those off now, and I need to like rethink like what is like, my next dream thing. I'm not totally sure. I mean, I really love making books, so I just would love to do more of that. And then working on the show has like been a total dream, and I love like the end result of a show and like getting people to see it in person. So I would love to just kind of do more of the same that I've been doing.
Although the show was nerve-wracking.
Yeah, it was nerve-wracking, but it was so rewarding at the same time, because we knew what the payoff was going to be at the end. Mm-hmm. That's like the same with holding a book, like with a book, you know, like you're going to get to hold it at the end. So it just really keeps you going. But yeah, the show was a bit nerve-wracking, because it was the first time that I'd ever done anything like that before. But it was just exciting at the same time.
Yeah, and now you'll be putting on shows and publishing books. You've got those first experiences behind you, so it'll be so much easier.
Yeah, definitely. I hope so.
And you're in notes, podcast notes, I'll save links to your book and to the show as well, because it's still open. And are you working on anything new right now?
I'm having like a little bit of a downtime right now, because I felt very burnt
out.
But yeah, I'm going to be starting the illustrations for a children's book, maybe like towards the end of the month or early September. So I'm really excited about that, because it feels like such a change of pace, and it's something that I've always wanted to do.
That's so amazing. Yeah, really, so that's your first children's book, right?
Yeah, this will be my first one. So I'm really excited, because it's a space that I've always wanted to go into. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that's really brilliant. And then do you know publication date roughly for that one? Would that be 2022 or later?
It'll actually be, I think, working towards April 2023. So that feels like a lifetime away.
But that's, again, that's your another long project, which you love.
Definitely.
Oh, that's brilliant. We're, you know, who knows, maybe the podcast will be still going by April 2023, and we can have you back and talk about and talk about the children's book. If people want to find you, where can they find you best?
I'd say on my Instagram, which is manjitthap, and then my website as well, which is manjitthap.co.uk.
Perfect, so everybody can head there now. And I know as well that your prints of works that are at the Now Gallery exhibition, they'll be on your website soon.
Yeah, they'll be on my website at the end of the run of the show, but they're all available now through the gallery.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, and congratulations on the book, on the show. It's absolutely incredible piece of work. And I encourage everybody to visit. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
was really brilliant to speak to Manjit and discover more of her story, the ins and outs of how she works and what she loves most about illustration, with the focus on storytelling coming through very strongly. In the show notes, I have included links to her book Seasons, as well as the show at the Now Gallery. It's actually called My Head is a Jungle. I can't remember if we mentioned it in the episode. And it's open until the end of this month, and I think you'll really, really enjoy it. All right, that's all for this episode. And if you want to stay in touch, make sure you're subscribed to the pod, wherever you get your pods from, and you can also rate and review it, which is super helpful because it helps others find the podcast. And if you want to keep in touch with me between episodes, you can do so on Instagram at Justina Green. Right, that's all. Bye for now.